look on the back. Maybe it's on the back.
Okay, we'd like to start this presentation. So if you could all take a seat, we'd appreciate it. We're here to have a report on our facilities assessment and from MHTN Architects, and so we will let you have a time. We would be more than happy if we ended this no later than 5 to 6, so...
Shouldn't be a problem.
Okay. We'll give you that much time. Okay. Right. Thank you.
Thank you for having us here. Just real quickly, this is Skylar Rubel, if you remember.
Hello, everybody.
This is Matt Clinger. He's one of our architects that has been working on this project with us. And this is Glenn Beckstead. He's the estimator in our office, our staff estimator, that puts together the numbers for either the good news or the bad news, depending upon how you look at it. And I'm Dennis Ciccini from MHD, and I'm the principal in charge. So, with that, I'm going to turn it over to Skylar, and we can get you going.
Okay. It's great seeing everybody. I hope you had a great summer, and hope we're going to have a great fall, too. We didn't get much of a spring, so we're all excited to have a nice drop in temperatures.
We do the weather report, too.
Well, you know, I got to work into
it.
Last time I was up, the river was flooding across the golf course, so glad to see it's more manageable now.
Me too.
What we're going to do today is share you our presentations that we're going to start next week with all the schools. We'll be doing that through September and the first part of October. We're going to be producing, it's basically a 16-foot wide by 8-foot tall board that you're going to see in miniature form today. And so we want to get your feedback to see if we've hit all the cylinders, and basically we've wrapped up our 635-page study that you should have some copies of this. It's also going to be on the FTP site.
We have it in the download.
Oh, good. Okay. Now, remember, that's a living document, so it's still in progress. So if there's things you see, that's what we're here to, is to update those for you. So, and today we're going to kind of go through a summary of what those studies were, both the facility side as well as the educational side. And Glenn, our cost estimator, is going to briefly hit what we're looking at for the cost for each school based upon educational and facilities numbers. So let's start it off with Adams. These are just to take notes on. They're small representatives of what we're going to be doing today. So there'll be a full PDF and a PowerPoint of that upon the FTP site soon. We're updating it based on some current information we got. So,
and we also plan on getting that so that it'll be available for our public as well as staff to look at it electronically,
right,
as well.
And I believe we got the costs loaded up today too, Marshall. So, okay, let's zoom in on that, Matt. Okay, we're going to start with the facility side. And again, we did a lot of pictorial through the boards. And again, these will be really big size, so there won't be any problem for everybody seeing this.
Can you describe what is being done with the board, Scott? Or maybe the rest of the board does it?
Oh, okay.
What do with
these? We're putting the boards on 4 foot by 8 foot. They call it gator board. It's reinforced foam core, basically. And they'll be printing those direct on the boards, and then we're going to have them hinged, so it'll be like a little display that could
be floor mounted. They'll stand on the floor,
right?
And they'll be
8 feet tall, and there'll be 2 4-foot panels.
And they'll just be hinged like, you know, this, so that they'll sit on the floor. And as your patrons and students and teachers come into the building, that will be there for them to review and go through. And then there's also a spot for them to
right. We'll have a little survey spot, so we'll have questionnaires that the school patrons can fill out so we can get more feedback on that. So, and we'll have those ready by the end of the week, so those should be set up around the school next week sometime. So
this summary that you're seeing in this format here will be available at each one of the schools for everyone. So, a little bigger than 8 foot.
Basically, we're going to go through all the components of each school And we're just going to go through the recommendations for each section and what the grade was for that value of that certain component. And again, general building items, elements were, you know, exterior, interior finishes, wall surfaces, millwork, those type of things. So at Adams Elementary, we still have a few single pane windows that need to be replaced. There are some finishes that are worn that will have to be refinished. Now this again is the facility assessment side, and then also most of the older schools aren't insulated for current energy standards, so that'll be kind of across the board that we'll be doing. But with all that said and done, we got a B minus for general building for Adams. ADA accessibility, pretty much the only thing we're going to have to do is add an elevator for access down into the basement, and then work on the clearances around some of the doors to meet ADA. So that's not horrible, and that's a B plus grade. And again, that's based on an A to D being the lowest. Structural, it's typical of the old buildings where we're going to have to work on the wall to roof connections. In some cases, we're going to have to beef up some of the shear walls, lateral walls in the school. But overall, I mean, it's not a tremendous cost, you know, for seismic. Just making sure those connections work. In this case, it's a C minus, which is typical in an old building. Mechanical systems, replacing old aging HVAC. And as a standard across through all of them, if they didn't have a sprinkler system, we went ahead and recommended that be something that is taken care of. So we had a B minus on that. Plumbing elements, we have a lot of old galvanized water piping, and then there's also some parts of the building that aren't getting the proper heat amount of hot water to those far reaches of the building, and so that's something that we would want to improve on. Electrical, a lot of these will be similar. Upgrade of the existing services and equipment. Panels are kind of to the max, they're old. With technology upgrades, you're going to want to get more power into the school. So those are, again, typical. In this school, we had some low light levels in some of the lighting fixtures, and then a sound system that'll cover the whole school and not just certain components. So that was a C-plus grade. And then civil, just everybody's been at Adams. At the end of the day, when the parents are picking them up, there's really not any place but the street to do that. So we want to recommend a separate bus and parent drop-off lane, as well as just some better collection of the roof drain system out into the site. So overall, the building rating on Adams was a C-plus on the facility side. And I think the bottom, again, the boards will just have some more pictorial of what a site plan with a floor plan on it, as well as just some overall shots. I don't know how many thousands of photographs we took, but we just thought it would be good buy-in for the patrons to see their school up on the board. So, and feel free to ask any questions as we go through them.
Go through what an A and a B and a C means, just
okay,
so we have a clear understanding.
Sure. Each in front of the study, we've got a couple of explanations for both the facility side as well as the educational side. The overall of the building, if it's an A, it's good. Should adequately serve current and future needs, you know, for the school, at least for the next 10 years or more. B would be a fair grade. Should serve current and future needs with some upgrades and minor repairs, but not a lot. C would be poor. There are several elements that would require major renovation or replacement in the next 5 to 10 years. And then D would be very poor, and this is when you'd be thinking about maybe it makes more sense to replace than it is to remodel. So that's kind of the overall. And then in our binder, it kind of goes into all these specific elements of how we grade, and like for classroom sizes, A, B, C, D, and what those meant. So, okay? Let's go over to the educational side. And again, we had an opportunity to sit down with all the principals and head custodians at the school, so this was pretty much direct feedback that we got. We had kind of an idea of what we saw, but we confirmed that or revised it based upon those discussions we had. Educational environment, poor classroom sizes and proportions, and that's based upon just the rectangular size that you would have in a new school. Minimal use of color and texture and patterns, it's more blended colors. And the media center was probably the only major community gathering spot that that was located at the school. Even though we had the multi-purpose room, it still couldn't handle all the needs of the school. And so that was a C rating. Surfaces basically were whiteboards and tack boards, and they got an A condition because there's plenty of those, plus a lot of smart boards throughout the school. The storage in general was good, adequate storage in most of the classrooms. Environmental systems, a B minus, some acoustic issues, some noise from the hallway into the classroom, and then there was no dedicated music room at Adams. And so that was a B minus. And then other elements, basically the main office area was not in the ideal location or size, including the teacher workroom. Not a lot of multi-zone lighting, you know, within the classrooms, and an adequate indoor physical education space. In other words, the multi-purpose room probably needs to be a lot bigger for that school. So overall, the educational adequacy was a C+. Glenn, do you want to just hit kind of briefly on the numbers, kind of the overview of what does all this mean?
Just on Adams right now?
Yeah, right.
I will say that for those of you who are really interested, the backup on this is really quite extensive as to exactly what I was doing and how much I put in for it. But the overall cost on Adams to repair and upgrade is about $8.4 million for a new school, a little bit larger, but probably handling about the same amount of students as $12.4 million. We compared those so that you can see. I'll say that an average is if you're 50% or so, you really think about replacing the building. You just end up with better energy efficiency, better things like that. Yet you have to look at the history, you have to look at some things like that, but the costs are fairly well understood on these buildings. And I'm going to say also that you guys have done such a good job in keeping your buildings looking good and running well that it affects these costs. And they were significantly lower for repair and upgrade than we see in most districts because you guys have done a very good job of keeping your buildings done well. Again, I've gone through specific things. Yeah, he likes that whenever I say it. We go into specifics like how much it's going to cost to replace your roof, when you should replace it in here, if you're going to replace it while you're doing the seismic upgrade, or if you're going to replace it just because it needs to be replaced. There are things like that within the cost estimate. Individual items, like there's 20 doors in the building that don't meet ADA code. And I don't know that it's 20 on this building, but I know that on this particular building, there's a few that we have to cut the walls, move the walls over to meet ADA code. Right. Get into details like that in that cost opinion. So for those of you who really like to dig into it, all the information is in the backup. But the front page is what most of you want to look at. How many square feet, what it would cost approximately to repair and replace compared to a new building.
Okay. Now again, we sized the high school, I believe, for 600 students. And I know some of the older schools aren't quite that big in population, so there is always an option if you want to go down to a 500 students school or whatever. So that's just kind of a target number that we use, you know, for the district. Because Dave was saying the Bridger is up at 600 now, and I'm not. What's Woodruff and Wilson up at this point? Are they? Right, so maybe the 600 size is a good number to kind of utilize.
The one thing with the 600 size is that when you get all done, if you replaced every school, you would have an additional you would have capacity for almost an additional school. So the 600 was the
gives right you some growth, right?
Yeah, right place to look at. But this won't be done tomorrow, so your student numbers will go up over the years and probably be needed.
Okay.
Well, again, building it when you have the money to build a 600 is going to be less expensive than building something smaller and then years later.
Adding on to it, right.
And 600 is.
So those are decisions you need to make as you go through. Is it better to spend money now and build a little bigger?
Now, one thing that I will mention is that, like I said, we're going to be wrapping up the first part of October with all the schools, the site visits. And then from that point towards the end of October, we'll start the master planning process. So we hope you'll be able to attend the all-afternoon work session with us back up here. And we'll go through and show you some of the things that we're thinking about, some of the things that you're thinking about. And then we can go to get, we'll put together kind of an approach, and then we'll go back out to all the school sites again with that information. And I think the goal is to probably try to wrap that up in early spring of next year, and then you'll have your whole process completed. So that's kind of the timeline I think we're looking at overall.
Just to be clear on it, but we are working on the master plan now. What it needs from you is that we need you to come back for the meeting roughly in October to see all of these things we're talking about and hear the various options that are available. We're actually quite excited about a few of the options that we've put together, and I'll just wipe your whistle with that and we'll go from there.
It'll be hands-on. You'll be able to go and put stickies on the board, and we like this, we don't like this, so everybody will get a real buy-in into the process, so it'll be fun. Okay, we can always come back, but any questions on Adams? So overall, Adams is kind of in that C range. So it's kind of in that range of maybe it makes some sense to look at replacement. So anyway, okay. So
just point out the little square on the box. It's going to be a big square.
This one's not working.
So on the board, there'll be this spot with an envelope on it that their surveys can put in.
Right.
More than that, it's plastic.
Right, it's your Home Depot standard plastic survey holder. So.
I didn't know they had
that. Oh, yeah, Home Depot has everything. Okay, let's go on to Bridger. You probably won't be too surprised with the grading on Bridger since it's your newest school. Okay. Again, the general building elements. What can we say? Most of the building elements are in good shape. The school's not that old and the school's well maintained. So that was an A-. ADA accessibility. All of the components within the school meet ADA, which makes sense. There might be a few little odds and ends around the school, but overall it meets ADA accessibility from the outside of the building in throughout. So that was an A-. Structural elements. Just a little bit of seismic bracing needs to be added on some of the rooftop equipment, so that's an easy thing to fix. That's an A-. Mechanical system, there was a suggestion made replacing some of the manual makeup air panels with an automatic changeover system. By the way, towards the early part of the summer, Don, when was that we had you guys come down? Was that May, June?
Yeah.
So after we had done our last presentation, there were a few things that they wanted to work with us on, so we actually spent a whole day and went through the building systems with Don and his staff, and so this reflects a lot of these upgrades as far as in our report. So. Okay, plumbing elements, just some tempering valves on the lavatories might be considered adding. Again, the fixtures are all in great shape, an A rating, electrical panels. Some of the security system may need a little update in it. And that's about all we found wrong with electrical, so that's a B plus. And civil items. Again, maybe there's a little bit of tweaking we can do with the parent and bus drop-off area up in the front of the school. And there was some excessive ponding, I believe, in kind of that southeast parking lot that we can improve on. So
kind of tweaking with the drop box a little more than tweaking. There needs to be some real changes made to it, and we have some worked out in the master planning that we'll show you when we get to that particular part in October.
Okay.
But it's not just a tweak. There's some significant things that need to be done for that particular element in order to, you think, make it work right.
Okay.
And we're showing $850,000 worth of cost on that. Most of it is for the bus drop-off and for water problems in the back of the field where it's ponding. Most of the rest of it's fine.
Okay. All right. Let's switch over, Matt, to the educational side. Again, A-minus in the educational environment. The multipurpose room is the only community gathering spot, and it's not large enough for the entire school to meet. But in a typical elementary school, that's not surprising, but some schools have maybe another community space. That may be something to think about, but again, it's an A-minus, so it's not a have to do. Teaching spaces, sufficient area for both whiteboards and tackable surfaces throughout. The storage, sufficient storage area and bookshelves in all the classrooms, so those are A's. General conditions, lots of windows, good access to the outdoors, lots of vestibules. You have dedicated specialist rooms and plenty of smart boards throughout the school. So it's not surprising. It could be an A-minus or a B-plus. It was just how the numbering worked out on that school. So basically, Bridger's great, except for a couple little site items. So any need to go through any more numbers on this? Glenn, any need to go through any more numbers on this school?
No. Almost all outside the building. So this is the kind of backup that I'm giving you. This is another summary of each area. And then if you go down in another couple pages, then it gets into details onto those numbers also. So X amount of square feet of whatever, this
right.
Runs to the top.
So the great thing about Glenn's estimate, you'll be able to see it in a summary form and where that number, those numbers are applied. But then you can go back into his backup information and see specifically what kind of numbers we're using for window replacement or asphalt and concrete, whatever the case might be. So
can you tell you how many students are in the school and how many square feet the school is, how many square feet the new one would be? All of those things are on this page.
So again, the percentage of what needs to be fixed is so minimal compared to a new school that that's why the grade is there at an A. So
we're not.
No.
Right. Good. Okay. Let's. Any questions on Bridger, anybody? Okay. Let's go on to Ellis. That's okay. I thought it was my allergies. Okay, at Ellis, again, with an older school, you're going to have a single window pane replacement. Also, we have a lot of old glass block in that in some portions, with which are basically heat sinks through that we'll want to replace. At least at the point when we did the study, the membrane on the roof needed to be replaced, and there were some detailing issues. I believe there's been some updates on your roofing. You folks are going through and...
Yeah.
In some locations.
Kind of a stopgap until we get to that point.
Right, right. So if we were to remodel this school, this would be something you'd want to go through and redo it all as far as the roof went. Again, not unusual, a lot of worn, damaged, outdated finishes, you know, on the exterior of the building. ADA accessibility, of course, the big thing is putting an elevator down to the basement area for access, as well as changing out a lot of the hardware and clearances around doorways. So that's pretty typical in an older school. But it had a B rating because there were still a lot of good clearances around fixtures in this school. So structurally, again, just making sure all the roof diaphragm to the wall connections are good, and improving a little bit on some of the seismic shear walls, beefing those up, adding some reinforcing on those. Mechanical, again, the automatic fire protection system being installed throughout. The kitchen exhaust system needs to be replaced, and take a look at upgrading all your temperature controls throughout the school. And that's a B plus on that. And again, there's a laundry list of things that go into this each category, so even though there's replace and replace and it's a high grade, there's a whole bunch of other things that came in that we have to look at as well. This is just the overview on that.
And it goes through each addition.
Correct.
Mechanical
was very, very thorough through what they did on all the additions and what had to be replaced. Okay, electrical, again, the system needs to be upgraded overall, additional power requirements needed. Some of the lighting fixtures and controls need to be looked at, replaced. Sound system upgraded. That would be a C plus along with the plumbing. And civil, separate bus and parent drop-off lanes. Right now they're in the street. Provide accessible route from the parking lot and repair some of the asphalt play surfaces in the back and the side. So overall we have a C rating for the physical plant on Ellis.
We have to stop the water from heading down those stairs and back. No question about that.
So do you guys weight some of these more heavily than the others? I mean, I look at your grades here. If I had a kid come home with C pluses and Bs and he's ended up with an overall GPA of a C, I kind of wonder how are you calculating that GPA?
No, pretty much it's straight up grading across for all the items. Again, within one of those categories, there may be like 20 or 30 items. So we were just trying to touch on the highlights for each one of those areas. So
one of the things we do, as Skyler said, there's about 20 or 30 items in some of these, and some of them only have four or five. For instance, ADA is only a group of six. And you can actually see our breakdown in the overall study. Now, we've taken each of those grades together and averaged them all together. So it's not, as you see here, we've averaged each of the sections. But the overall grade, the overall rating is from the culmination of all of those grades.
It is weighted.
It is. So that's why you're seeing, you know, if you looked at these six scores here, and they don't always quite add up to an average of a C, as you see here. It has to do with the number of grades that we've given for that particular area.
But as far as going through the overall study and saying these are the critical components of the building, we didn't add more weight to those items. Everything was kind of treated across the board, you know, equally, even though some categories have more than others, so if that makes sense. Okay, let's talk about educational. Adequate classroom sizes. Some locations, the configuration's a little tough, and visibility to see throughout the room being just a big rectangle is what's perfect in the world. We gave that a C plus. Teaching services, of course, there's plenty of whiteboards in all the classrooms. In some of the classrooms, we noticed there could have been more tackable wall surfaces, so we gave that a B instead of an A. Storage, we have adequate storage throughout the school. It may be old, but it still keeps everything you need in place. So, but that was still an A minus. Environmental systems. Some of the windows down in the basement classrooms are real small. They need to be enlarged just for natural light. And some of the classroom acoustics there was trouble with, and we didn't have a dedicated music room. And so that was a B plus. Other elements included good access and views to the outdoors. So a lot of the older additions have a lot of windows in them, including the glass block. Digital whiteboards are included in all the classrooms. And one of the things was the teacher's workroom. It just wasn't big enough for a school of this size, and conference space was kind of limited along with some of the specialist rooms. So those are things that could be improved on. That's a B. And, of course, on the educational side, we had a B grade. So
plus, as part of this, there's a lot of some classrooms which are on the
basement level, we'll call it.
Right.
Which, you know, as we went through and graded things, did not seem to be a ideal condition for students and teachers.
Yeah. Although I don't love the fifth grade down there. They don't bother.
I know. That's why I use the word ideal. There's some things in there, I suppose. But that is something that if you have an opportunity and as we go through the master plan to correct that, that is one of the main things you want to get corrected, is to maybe stop using that for student and teacher activities and maybe use it more for receiving and storage and those kinds of things that might be important.
Okay, Glenn, you want to go over the numbers slide?
This one is one that definitely has some significant costs to patch and repair and bring the systems up to grade, which isn't overly surprising. It's a fairly old school and lots of additions in it and things like that. New to repair and upgrade what's there is $9.2 million. To build the same size as there is $7 million. It always costs more to repair it than it does to build new once you get to a certain point. And that's why I have that same size there and then the new 600 student to compare what you'd probably build. So that building has some significant problems that you had to throw a lot of money at to fix. And yet there's options, all different ways to make it work.
Okay.
What would it cost for an elevator, just for curiosity?
By the time you get that elevator in there, and I'm going to come somewhat off the top of my head, it's about $250,000. By the time you put an elevator, some ramps, because you've got to have two exits, and all of those things, about $250,000. And it could be $150,000, depending on which way it goes. But
how you get it in.
Yeah. One building might be significantly different from the other, depending on how it lays out.
And it depends.
In a new building, an elevator is $50,000.
Right.
Okay.
I was going to say, it depends if we build its own structure outside the existing, or if there's a way you can work it in inside the building, and then you could save quite a bit for that.
Both of these buildings, I assumed that it was outside.
Okay.
No place to put it in.
But you still got to get down to that.
Correct.
Hole, so you're digging in
that
yeah. hole.
Right. Okay. All right. Any other questions on Ellis, anybody? Okay. I think we're at Hillcrest now. Okay. Hillcrest has a lot of the same features that Adams has, and so you'll see a lot of the similar grading to that. Again, with general building elements, we'll want to take a look at replacing the roof membrane, a lot of finishes that are worn out, stained, or damaged. Kitchen finishes need to be replaced in that school to meet current health standards. ADA accessibility, again, putting an elevator to the basement, as well as updating building hardware, and some of the door clearances are going to have to be done. Structural, again, updating the roof to wall connection and the typical lateral bracing, either by adding concrete thickness to the wall for the shear or doing some additional masonry reinforcing. Plumbing, replace the old galvanized water piping system. I should be, the grades on structural, by the way, were C, a B plus on mechanical, and C plus on plumbing. Electrical, C minus, again, upgrading the existing electrical service and a lot of the outlets, replacing existing lighting to better light levels throughout the school, including controls, upgrade of the sound system, and upgrade of data, internet, telephone, television, overall systems. I thought you were going through a lot of upgrade technology-wise in the schools. And Hillcrest, have we done that yet?
They have audio enhancement, and they've. How many boards do you have?
Smart boards in almost every classroom.
Okay.
But their intercom system has not
right.
been
sure.
adequate.
That hasn't worked in a long time. So, yeah. Anyway, the overall building rating is a C for facility side. Educational side. Educational environment, a C minus. Kindergarten classrooms are too small. Monotonous use of color, form, texture, pattern, and rhythm, so it's pretty much one color. Sorry, that's a big word. I don't know why we threw that in there.
I think it describes what it is.
Okay. We didn't do that to anybody else. So.
Not yet.
And then, of course...
Really monotonous. I don't know.
Good point. And, of course, the office is a killer. It's just, it's tough, it's small. It definitely needs improvement. Teaching surfaces, plenty of whiteboards, but we need more tackable wall surfaces. That's a B. Storage, insufficient storage in most of the classrooms and bookshelves required. That's a C+. Environmental system, acoustics in the classroom, difficult sometimes to hear from the corridor. So that made it a B-. Voice amplification is included in all the classrooms. B- for general conditions, other elements. Again, it has a lot of exits to the outside. There's a lot of windows in the school. Indoor physical education space is not big enough, and that needs to be improved on. And the performance platform in the multipurpose room isn't accessible, so there'd have to be some ramps built into that. So we had a C+ on the overall for Hillcrest from the educational side. So again, Hillcrest, Lynn, go through the numbers, but I think you're going to find it's a lot like Adams.
Yep. There are a few things that are different, so it's a little bit less money. But I wanted to bring up also that in this, some of the things I bundled together. So knowing that I'm going to take the ceiling down, I took care of the lighting, I took care of the plumbing, I took care of the one time. You could spend more than what I have in here if you did one little project and went back and did another project. And yet, I didn't put them all together because I know you're not going to do them all at once. So, the costs that are in here are average. There are some things that you might just say, we can live with that, even though we have it in there. So it could be a little less, it could be a little more than what's in here. But the main thing is when you're at $7 million and you could replace it for $9 million, you kind of know that probably the right thing to do. One thing also is that when you replace these buildings, all of your maintenance money for a few years can go towards the new building because you don't need that maintenance as much for a few years. Also, energy costs. You guys have efficient buildings also, but we'll even be more efficient. We'll probably save you 50 cents a square foot in that neighborhood off of what you're paying right now for energy because the new energy efficient situations, and that could be $400,000 a year once you get them all done, once you're there. So significant savings by building new also because things are different. Things are better than 5 years ago in energy efficiency.
Did I skip over civil? Did I go over civil?
If you're worried about it, go back.
Yeah. Let's go back.
You're okay. They're not going
I don't to remember go. Saying we needed a new parent bus drop-off. I think I skipped over it. If I didn't... Anyway, we definitely need a new parent bus drop-off area and upgrade, you know, from that far northeast parking lot. We'll need to improve the access into the building for ADA and just some general fencing around the school site. So I apologize if I'm repeating, but I didn't think I get it. So any other questions on Hillcrest, anybody? Does that kind of sound like we're hitting on the right note there? Okay, let's go to Wilson. Again, at Wilson, there is an older area in the school, so there's going to be a few single-pane windows that are going to have to be replaced. Replace the roofing membrane because of its age, and replace the kitchen ceiling to meet current health code requirements. It's probably probably not a hard, cleanable surface in the kitchen, so that's why that came up. Again, that's a B grade, ADA accessibility. We did add an elevator to that storage room in the basement, and so we're just throwing that in as part of the study. The structural elements, there's a few areas that are going to require, again, some of the roof-to-wall connections in the old part of the building. And mechanical systems overall seem to be in good shape in the building. And that was A minus. Plumbing, domestic hot water storage tank should have a lower and upper, well, just seismic restraints, so that's not a big item. And some of the galvanized piping in some of the building is getting near the end and needs to be replaced, but again, overall, that's a B plus. Electrical upgrade, some of the lighting fixtures throughout the school would be a good thing to do. You have a B rating in the electrical and civil. Again, improve upon the bus and the parent drop-off area in the front of the school. Replace or repave the north parking lot and replace the south drive approach. So there's a few site items that would have to be done at Wilson. Overall, though, the school's got to be great for facilities.
The basement access is more important than just the storage room. It's the PE room, actually. It's to take PE down in the basement. And so
okay.
That's why we would actually need an elevator. Otherwise, we can...
Okay, I apologize. I didn't do the walkthrough, so I'm sorry. Right, but that's okay. That's good to know. Okay, let's do the educational side. A minus for educational environment. The classrooms are good, adequate size and configuration. The office is nice and spacious and good location. There aren't very many dedicated group project learning areas, but other than that, there's a full integration of the facility with special needs students, so that's why you get an A-. Teaching surfaces, again, plenty of whiteboard and tax surfaces throughout. Storage is A. All the classrooms have really good storage and bookshelves. A-minus for environmental. We have some of the new classrooms need a little bit of exterior window area improved upon. Voice amplification is included again throughout most of the classrooms. And the music room has good acoustic storage and is large enough for its use. So that's why it gets an A-minus rating for that. Other elements, B-plus. Again, probably the only thing is some of the classrooms don't have quite enough window area in them. That could be improved upon. But there's plenty of good access to the outdoors throughout the school. Digital whiteboards are included throughout the building. And I guess one of our checklist items, we're having individual coat cubbies. And I don't think in the district there's a lot of those, you know, throughout the elementary schools.
We don't need Coach Logan.
Because you grow up, you have an extra thick hide, right?
Warm all year round, though.
All right, I like
that.
That
bad.
And why didn't you mark that on everyone else? Because isn't that the same?
I know.
Everywhere?
I think it is.
Well, and that's why it's interesting that it was added there, because mm-hmm. really, I don't know of any...
I think they're all in the hallways.
Right, I think they are. So I think that's something we need to go back and put that on all of us.
Why did you come to B plus when mostly A's and one B plus?
Again, it's all of the when you just add them all up together. I mean, it probably is so close, it could be an A minus. Yeah, Ben.
Can I go back to the cubby issue? As I remember, it was a corridor issue.
Okay, so
the width of it.
Right.
Okay, so it's the width of the corridor.
Is there anything wrong with having?
Is it in the new or the old part or both?
I think it was in the older.
Okay.
On the north side.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that was the issue mostly. It wasn't that you were putting coats in the corridor. That's perfectly legal now, and
you know, if you don't mind it looking the way it looks, it's okay. But I think the real problem, you probably should clarify that on here. Yeah. If the width of the corridor diminishes it enough, that gets somewhat difficult.
Okay, that makes sense.
To move through. The others are okay.
All right.
See, there's like about 55 line items that we go through and grade, and so that's why when you probably add those up, we're just right below that A minus. But it's really close. So
those will be in the scanned items that we sent you.
I'm just curious.
Pardon? I sent them that in
oh,
the scanned
sure.
items.
Sure.
So in terms of the details. And we will get those members of the committees, we will get you availability into these sites. It was 456 pages just on this part alone, so we didn't think it would be best to make copies, but we will get you so you have electronic availability of all the information so you can review it.
Glenn, do you want to go over the cost side?
Yeah. One interesting thing on this building is that you have about 78,000 square feet there. That with the new building, we would probably handle with about 69,000 square feet. Probably 8,000 or 9,000 square feet there that through additions and things are not as efficient. Maybe it's class size, maybe it's something like, I mean, the size of the classroom, not how many students. Maybe it's something like that, but there's an additional square footage there that with the new building may not have to be taken care of. You'll have to buy the energy for it, things like that. But this one turns out, let's say, $4.5 million to bring it up. So it's hard to say maybe that you need a new school, but that's another thing that you have to look at in cost. Not everything is something that you actually look at and say that would be a cost. Sometimes when you fix an old building, you fix it all up and you still have an old building that doesn't work as well as that new building. There's a value there, but it's not a cost. And we only looked at things that were cost.
So I guess in summary, you would say Wilson is definitely a good candidate for just improving what's upon there and making it better with what we have.
Yeah,
so.
$5 million.
Right. Okay. Any questions on Wilson? All right, let's go to Woodruff. Come on, Woodruff.
Three additions. Make it hard sometimes because part of the building gets bad grade and part gets good grade.
But the new space is nice. That entranceway with the big vault, the office, it's a nice setup like that.
That is weird.
This is the 10th West Construction.
Right.
How is that coming along, by the way?
It'll be done by March.
Okay.
Is the road through 6th Avenue?
It was closed today.
And we kind of bypassed that and came in on Park. Okay, Woodruff. When it clears up. Again, there's a lot of similarities with Woodruff and Wilson, we'll see. Overall building items, again, replace the roof. Improve upon some of the flashing and some of the metal panels.
Which is on the old spec, the 1983
correct,
original building.
Correct, right. Replace worn and damaged finishes in those older sections. ADA accessibility, just update some of the drinking fountains to get better clearance. Other than that, door clearances and hardware look fine. Structural, again, some of the roof-to-wall connections. I think in this case there was some of the old metal decking that needed to be welded in addition to what had been done, if I recall right. Mechanical elements, provide air ventilation in the elevator mechanical room, provide automatic fire protection sprinkling throughout, so it's an A-. Structurals, plumbing elements, install expansion tanks, vacuum breaker at hose bibs, and tempering valves at laboratories, so that's not a huge cost to the school. Electrical, again, the power seems to be fine. It's just upgrading some of the lighting fixtures in the school and some of the electrical outlets in the main corridor and work areas. So that's a B plus for electrical. Civil has some asphalt repair in the northwest corner and west drive, and some drainage problems in the site. So it's a B plus. So overall, facilities wise, Woodruff's in a B grade range. Educational side, environment, classroom configuration is good, close to the ideal proportions. Minimal use of color and pattern and rhythm could be improved upon. No dedicated group project learning areas. So we've got a B grade. Teaching surfaces, A, adequate whiteboards and text surfaces. Storage, again, plenty of ample storage in the classrooms with bookcases. Environmental systems, a B plus. Decent acoustics within the classroom. Noise prevention may be needed from the outside, and I think that's some of the open wells that go from the first floor up to the second. I know that's probably where we're getting a little bit of sound transfer, so you could look at doing something there. Other elements, a B plus. A lot of windows, good access and views to the outside. Lots of digital whiteboards throughout the school. And again, we put no coat cubbies on this one, so we'll make sure we get that all upgraded on all of them.
They're probably okay. We've got a corridor on the other one. That's not
right, but I think as far as our grading went, part of our standard was, do you have coat cubbies or not? And so we need to make sure we address that equally. Okay. So it's a B plus overall in the educational side. Glenn, numbers.
The numbers look almost the same as the last one. 3.9 million to repair it. So definitely this is one that you want to repair and leave in place. The square footage is even correct on this building. So that's one of the reasons the cost is less, is there's 8,000 less square foot than the last one.
Right. Okay. So that's Woodruff. Any questions on Woodruff, anybody? Okay. Well, let's get into the big ones. How about the middle school, Mount Logan? So how did the fundraiser turn out for the foundation? Did that get the numbers you wanted, you were hoping to get?
Yeah, about a little over about $8,400 in profit.
Okay, good.
Much of the thanks of you guys.
Thank you. Well, I wasn't looking for a plug. I just was curious how it
your sponsorship it was very helpful.
Good. I just wish I could apply. Next year.
We did too. We had one.
Okay, Mount Logan Middle School, general building elements, C+, replace damaged stucco soffits, replace some of the single pane glazing, replace the roof membrane, and replace the worn and damaged finishes on the exterior. ADA accessibility, a C+, provide ADA to the stage or platform, provide ADA compliant plumbing fixtures, replace non-compliant building hardware with ADA, so looks like that's an overall need throughout the building at a C+. Structural, again, some of the connections in the old sections between roof and wall. I guess this is where some of the welding needed to take place up there on that deck. Mechanical, a B-, ventilate, flammable storage cabinets, seismically anchor mechanical equipment, so those aren't big items. Plumbing elements, C+, consider replacing galvanized domestic water piping, provide secondary roof drains, and the steam piping system is near its end, so that's why it's got a low rating. That's going to be a big upgrade cost for them. A lot of piping throughout that building. Electrical, a B-, replace the existing electrical system because it's on beyond current capacity, improve the lighting and controls throughout the school, and add additional electrical outlets to meet current and future demands. B minus. That seems like it ought to be more like a C plus, but we'll double check that one. Civil elements, replace or repair of the existing tennis courts. So we have a bus drop off in the front. I guess we have separation between those. Has that been an issue?
It's still a major issue in the front.
Yeah.
Because it's also used by parents for drop off,
right.
So there's not a.
I think we need to go back and revisit that one again. Okay. Educational side now. B minus for the environment, small classroom sizes, minimal use of color again. The office environment is undersized and noisy, a lot of activity going through that space. Auditorium seats approximately 1,000 students, so it's a nice size auditorium. Okay. Teaching surfaces, a B plus, lots of whiteboards and tackable surfaces throughout the classrooms. Storage, sufficient storage within the classrooms. Inadequate project storage in the drama room and art rooms, and also sufficient bookshelves throughout, so they've got a B plus. Environmental systems, small windows in classrooms, decent acoustics within the classrooms and outside the classrooms, and most of the spaces have voice amplification. So again, a B minus is a pretty good rating for the age of that school. Other elements, good access for general, but poor views to the outdoors. Most of the rooms have projectors or smart boards. Most students have individual lockers, but need to be replaced, broken. Some of the small group area instructional spaces, few project-based learning space. I guess the instructional space for the small groups is inadequate, and that's why we gave it the B minus. So overall, we have a B minus on the school. So we have a C for facilities and a B minus for educational, number wise.
As far as cost, this one is pretty close to the line at $17 million, almost $18 million for replacement compared to $31 million. So we gave you some options here. We looked at replacing everything except the auditorium and the gym, and some looks at how you could do that and replace just the classroom and some of that space, because it may be in the long run cost-wise better to do that, especially if you look at this one down the road a ways. So we have quite a few options on here, how you can do it, what you can do with it. Again, a new one would be much more efficient, although the size would be about the same, because you're about 200,000 square feet, and it would take about 200,000 square feet to house that many students. It would simply have some spaces that you don't have in this one, and still be as efficient. So more usable space, less hallways, less connecting.
Well, if we had were to build two middle schools smaller to accommodate, would that be more cost effective than one large one? If we were to have two of them. Just curious about that.
I'm going to say probably not. I mean, there's a bunch of things beyond just cost for the building, but when you look at two sites, the sites have to be about the same size. They have to be, because you house that many people outside. This is a, quote, normal for a big district size for a junior high school. That one just is not, how do I nicely say, it could be more efficient than the one that's there now. Even though we'd probably build the same square footage, like I said before. Cost on this one is just right to where it's a hard decision what to do.
I don't know if we're building two smaller ones actually saves.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Well, you got double utilities to the building, so you're going to have
double gyms, double.
Yeah, double the
maintenance
spaces.
Maintenance staff and everything.
And again, the auditorium and the gyms were very nice.
And you can't do another one like that.
generally, if you can build bigger, you know, I don't agree with this, but, you know, Granite builds mega schools for that reason that they have determined, well, I think it's for that reason they had a tough time, but the only reason I could see is that it's got to be cheaper for them, because it would take pencil out that way, I'm sure, to build a large volume school. However, it may not be adequate in terms of educational reasons for having that many students. And I know they have a 1,500 student elementary school.
Yeah.
1,500 student elementary school that they built for that particular reason. I wouldn't do that, but that just tells you they're building two smaller ones at, you know, 700 or 800. I think it works well. In this instance, you're going to the smaller. For the middle school might not be cost effective, because you can really have the students at the 1,400 level or the 1,200.
I'm not talking staff or anything. You're building the two most expensive spaces twice, right, that are totally adequate, the same size. The auditorium, the gym, those are 200 for the gym, 350 a square foot for the auditorium. The building altogether is, let's say, 180. So the inexpensive spaces are what you're not building.
That's good information to have, Laura. No.
If you'd like to, we can put some numbers for you.
Right.
And you'll have that, so you can.
Do you happen to have any property for?
No.
Okay, so that's another cost.
I can take my house.
Wow, you must have a big acreage.
Only if they go up.
Okay.
You know, that's another thing people always ask me. Two levels, less expensive or one? They're almost exactly the same cost. You can get a little bit better energy with two levels, because you have the exterior skin. Life cycle cost, the biggest life cycle cost you have usually is your roof. You cut that in half. So, and if you're buying property, you can maybe buy a half acre, an acre less. Maybe, you know, because usually you buy the plot that's there. So there's some things, but the cost, just straight cost, is very close to the same. There's a little bit of savings in mechanical, electrical, a little bit of cost in structural.
I know for an elementary school that we just finished down in Graham County, they have two elementaries, and they tore one down and closed the other one. They decided it was more cost-effective to build one bigger one for those students, and we kind of compared some of those costs. Again, that's just on an elementary size.
On that
size.
To build it so that they could have the lower and the upper grades relatively separated in the building, but still have it in one building. So that's just a design issue that could be accomplished, but it still saved them money to build one.
Right.
Okay.
And we have a big site for the middle school, too, right now. So there gives you some options. You're not totally landlocked, so there's some things we can look at. Okay, anything else on Mount Logan? Okay, let's go to the big one. How about Logan High School? Football team is pretty impressive, guys.
Oh,
kind of came down to the Wasatch front and kicked a little kicked some stuff, you know. Okay, Logan High School, general building element.
Well, football player, you gotta watch what he says.
Hey, I'm older now. General building elements, replace single pane windows in some of the older sections, replace the roofing membrane, and repair some of the old worn out and damaged finishes throughout the school. So that's a C. ADA accessibility, remodel and update most of the restrooms because they just don't meet the clearances for ADA. Auditorium aisles and stage need to be, wow, we really squeezed that in, review for ADA conformance. So there's some issues on slope in the auditorium when you take a look out. Replace non-compliant door hardware throughout, so that's a C-plus for ADA accessibility. Structural, again, in an older building, we're going to have to look at those roof-to-wall connections, the lateral seismic improvement for I think that on this one, too, there's a lot of ribbon windows, so we're going to have to take a look at the big wall areas over the windows. And so that's why we have a C grading on that. Mechanical elements, a D+. Wow. Replace old mechanical boilers, leaking steam piping. The gymnasium needs to be mechanically cooled. Replace unit ventilator, dampers, replace the kitchen exhaust hood and makeup air. So that's a big one. That's going to be a big number for that school.
You mean the one in the rec yard?
Which one?
No, this is the old okay. County.
Well,
right.
It's also a big number because there's so many additions and so many. So one section of the building really is fairly good, especially HVAC, and the other really stinks.
So do you have that broken out? Because yes. As a board, I want to look at if we replace this building or, you know, because truly even more than the middle school, there are such sections that are high school.
Yeah, and if there's anything there that you don't see, I can do it for you. So certainly,
if you look under the educational part of it, I mean, it does break it down by the additions and the overall, so that you might be able to see if we need more detail.
452-page document.
Yes. Not that big just in high school,
right?
But again, if you need more information on any of this, just let us know, and we'll look
at it. 300 pages.
Yeah, I'm on 304, so I.
Okay, plumbing. We've got a lot of old galvanized plumbing piping that'll have to be replaced. The original hot water system needs to be replaced, and secondary roof drains need to be added in the old sections of the school. So that's a C+. Electrically, the building service needs to be improved, upgrade, and replace lighting and controls throughout the school. Repair or upgrade the intercom system and upgrade data, internet, and telephone. So that has a C rating. Civil elements, provide off-street bus and parent drop-off lanes, relocate and expand off-site student and faculty parking, provide ADA accessibility routes to the building, and pipe the open canal on the south side of the building. And I understand that's a water feature that a lot of people like, so, but I guess from a civil side, that's a recommendation that we have for you. That's a B rating on the civil. So the overall rating of the building is a C minus for facilities. So that's almost as, I think that's probably the lowest grade we've given in all the facilities, I believe. Okay. Let's go to educational now. Maybe. Okay. Educational environment, small classroom sizes, four proportions, minimal use of color, social learning space is isolated to one location, poor integration of students and special needs. So that's a C rating. And again, I'm sure that's because of a lot of the internal stairs in the school. Teaching surfaces, sufficient whiteboards throughout in the classrooms, insufficient tackable areas, we'll have to improve those, but that's a B rating. Storage, extremely lacking storage in the classrooms, small and inconvenient project storage spaces, and minimal bookshelves. So that's a C rating. For storage, environmental systems, a B+. Acceptable window areas with teacher-controlled blinds. Fair acoustics within the classroom and outside the classroom. And most spaces adequately contain voice amplification. So that's a B+. Other elements, C rating, wayfinding issues throughout the school is challenging. Small and not centrally located office space and teacher workroom. Poor communication outside of classrooms, the intercom system. Minimal project-based learning spaces and specialty classrooms are outdated and generally too small for the curriculum needs. So overall, the educational side is a C. Cost estimate. So.
Costs on this one, $46 million to patch and repair, $53 to build new. Some of that new cost, if you look at the cost estimate, is we're going to phase it and build a portion of it, then get that done, build another portion, the cost would be much closer to the same cost as patch and repairs if it wasn't for phasing and trying to figure out how long it's going to cost in 5 years to do it instead of 2 years. Some things like that. We also left it.
Did you just throw out 5 years?
No, I'm just...
No.
No.
We'll get into the phasing part of the rebuild as part of the stuff that we're talking about. It's not quite 5 years, but their phasing does. The concept there is that the phasing does cost a little bit more when you build room. You have to keep the other building in operation in such close proximity. So that's the main point of what you're saying.
And
is the 53.9 for 1,800 students? Or
I'm sorry, what?
Is the 53.9 estimate for 1,800 students?
Yes, same enrollment.
Yes, 280,000 square feet. This is really similar to what we did at Ben Long High School for Ogden. About the same size. They had about 240,000 square feet with all the different buildings. I think we were in the low 42 range, I believe. But we kept the auditorium, we kept the old gym, and we kept their wood shop area.
It was so low, it was 38.
Well, then that was a bargain.
Yeah, it was.
Okay,
but
sorry.
It was 42.
Done.
Was asbestos abatement included in the projected cost?
No,
not on our end. For this.
It's something that we talked about, and we know that you guys have a study that already has a cost to it, and that will not be maybe as big a cost as they have in there if it's a tear it down. But there's certainly some more money that needs to be allocated.
To make this easier for you to find it in one spot, we gotta get this, the abatement numbers into this in a separate line item, and then figure it into the total on the repairs. So because they're gonna have to spend it one way or another.
Okay.
Let's get it in here and not have to have you go do a separate look.
Okay.
Can I just ask a question? Oh, sorry. With at Hillcrest, we have a park right next to our school.
Right.
If you did look at building a new school, could you build that new school while Hillcrest is still open, as an example? Could you build one next to it and still, that way there wouldn't have to be a...
That can be a definite possibility. That's what we did with the Grand County Elementary. They kept school in session while we built on some additional property they have north of their play area, so that definitely works.
To bring it back to home.
Yeah,
that is one of the options we're master planning for, and certainly that helps in terms of the cost, because you're able to keep functioning, nothing's disrupted. When you're ready, you just cut it over and knock it out.
And does this price include making the current site a park, so you still have that park? You know what I mean?
Your play field, or sure,
switching that around.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Thank you.
What do you mean is the playground? It's a big hole there.
They would love that.
I have so grandchildren cool. There, yeah. No.
You heard it right there, Lim.
The costs that you have here, are they current prices right now, or how far out do you project these? As we know, it's going to be a little, or how much do we add per year? I know it's kind of a crystal ball the economy and everything, but I'm just curious.
I look at inflation for the state also, and it really is difficult to decide where it's going right now. But
in the state of Utah, and they ask him about
for everything that the inflation rates that we use for the whole state of Utah, I set those for them. But if you look up at the top,
you set them all.
It tells you that these are 211. And those costs are for now. Now, right now, inflation is very low, especially in construction. The problem is what's going to happen. I mean, the euro problem right now could send that cost significantly up. Things like that. But we're right now, as far as construction goes, inflation should be a small portion, 1-3% for the next 2-3 years. Beyond there, I can guess all you want, but if you look over a 10-year period, most of the time you stay between 3-5%. So great deal. And I would say that to be conservative, I would go out 3 years at 3%, beyond that, 5%.
So we're going to give you those numbers to apply, so as you look at when you're ready to do certain things in the master plan, you can just add that number to the figure and know what you have to spend and make a decision.
The phasing of the high school, if you're not going 5 years, what are you talking, 3 years?
Yeah, well, I think it was close to that.
That's what we did. It was a three-year process.
A little over three. We'll go through that in detail with you. We've actually figured out a way for you to stay pretty much in operation, and you'll love it. It'll be somewhat disruptive, but not terrible. That's the point.
Mobile home park? Is that
no. You're still outside.
Big flood insurance?
So the part you'll love,
you can't play football, but other than that,
the part you'll love is that it has to, there'll be a little noise involved in it. So we'll use the rubber shovels and the padded machines.
Well, and that's one thing we take a look at master planning as well. If it requires any additional portable classrooms to be brought in, we'll figure that in to part of the cost. So if that's the case, we're hoping it won't be, but you want to see all the numbers, what the impacts are when you go one direction or another.
So I want to apologize for saying that number that I said, because that was just a number that I threw out.
I'm telling you, man. You've
got to not do that stuff. So forget that number.
5 years causes heart attacks.
Yeah. It will be whatever it needs to be, and it's less than I just threw that number out.
It does take longer when you are doing phasing than it does if you're building up.
There's not space there to build on.
You can build a new one in 24 months. You have to apply a longer period because you're going to build a section. After you knock it down, you're going to build a section. You have to do all the temporary things in the building that help you stay in operation for the building part you're using. And then you move through the building, knocking sections down. Well, we've got it down to a reasonable number of phases, we think. We're still testing that, so I'm not going to give you what those are yet. We'll do that in October. We want to make sure it works.
But we're keeping the football field.
Yes.
No, we're fixing the baseball thing.
We're fixing that, aren't we?
Okay, this is what we're going to be going out to the schools with your blessing starting next week, but that's kind of our overview for what we've been up to since last December. So, any general questions, anybody, or comments, or where we're headed?
Anything from principals or from Bob? Anyone from the committee?
So the ones when you come back to our school, do you want to just invite the whole community, teachers, everyone?
The public?
Yes.
I think that was the intent.
We want you to invite your community. We would like you to have your staff there. That's why we did it right after school time, mm-hmm. for your staff mainly. But we also realize that it's not the best time for your community, but to try to have two different meetings we thought would be very difficult. So we're trying to combine it into one.
So what do we do? How do we frame this when people come to us and say, you know, this is the cost to replace, this is the cost to replace? What timeline are we looking at?
Okay, first of all, this is we're just sharing the information on the facilities assessment. Okay. Starting at the end of October into November, December, and January is when we're going to be coming back and saying, okay, now with this information, what are our options? And they're going to share some different options to get some juices flowing, and then there will be recommendations for master planning for each of the sites. So this is just the middle. We're in mid-grade, but it's giving you some information to kind of think about and get ready so that as we transition to master planning, then we can start making some more focused decisions over the next 20 to 25 years.
Please do that as you're talking to people about these meetings, to caution them not to jump to any conclusions. This is the raw data. The district wants them to be completely up to speed and transparent on what that data is. They haven't made any decisions. They haven't seen them. Well, no one's seen the master planning ideas yet. We're still generating those. So that'll come later. That'll be a fun part.
And it's just our school or start?
Yes.
The other ones, so they can't just attend somewhere and get
all. No, maybe wanted to focus. They're going to be having to go to both.
Okay.
Just FYI, the schedule is next Monday we'll be at Adams from 3 to 4:30. Next Wednesday at Wilson from
three to four thirty. We're going to get all of this out to everyone who's here on the committees. We just haven't had a chance yet to get that. Did they get it already?
The board hasn't.
No.
No, the schedule.
That was just FYI. Next Thursday, so we'll be up three times next week. We'll be at Hillcrest on Thursday at 4 to 5:30.
And with that, you'll get the boards, and there'll be comment sheets for people to do. Plus, we're going to have it on the website, okay. Our website, so that people can look at it and get information back in via electronic means. So we're trying to get as many. If they can't come, have them come and look at it, sign up, and just give it to you in the office, or look at it on the web.
What should we shut down? Is that advertising for this? What should I tell parents we're going to be doing?
We're looking at the facilities assessment. We're looking at Adams Elementary School and what the architects found.
We jazz that up a little so
you can jazz it up, have to do it, whatever you want to
see
do.
Adams.
You can put music to it if you want.
Okay.
Now, Stacey, have you gotten out to everybody the schedule, Ben?
Would you get the board members and also committee members? Is
yes.
that possible?
Yes. You'll email that tomorrow.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Or we can still drag this up for another hour and a half.
No, you won't. I don't know what we'll charge you for that. I think maybe just $5 or $6 million, something like that.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Can talk about Aggie football if you want, or
okay.
I think if that's all the questions, we thank you very much. Look forward to presentations and continue to move forward.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for attending, everybody. We appreciate it. Good job.
145 million dollars.